looking at what you're wearing today and see if any of you are wearing a piece of jewelry. Okay, everyone, some kind of piece of jewelry? Something? Okay, good. Okay, I want you to take a second and think about that piece of jewelry and where you got it from, why it's meaningful to you. Think about the story behind it. I have some jewelry on. I have these like E. Newton bracelets on that my daughter has a matching one. And I also have on, let's see, this necklace that I'm going to talk about that is really special to me, a cross necklace that is super important to me. My wedding ring that I got from the man standing in the back right there 28 years ago. So that's super meaningful to me. So those are some of the things that I'm wearing. What I want you to do is I want you to think about the piece of jewelry that you have on that's significant. And I want you to think about two or three sentences that you could turn to someone else and tell them why this piece of jewelry is significant. And bonus points, if you meet someone from another church that you ask their name, and then you like become friends really quickly. That would be so awesome. We are going to share like with the whole group if you want to. So try to remember the person's name and why their piece of jewelry is significant. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to know is that the jewelry you're wearing is obviously valuable because that you bought it or someone bought it for you. But more importantly, it's valuable because of the story behind it. And what we're going to talk about today is the story of you, the story that you are called into the light of Jesus Christ, and that is where your worth is. And the world is going to tell you all kinds of lies about what you are worth. And what I want you to remember is this piece of jewelry that you have and the story behind it, because the story that you're telling matters. Because it's the story that God is telling in your life. And so I want to tell you, this is a piece of jewelry that's significant to me. I'm wearing it today. Does anyone know what this is called? You're in New Orleans. So yeah, you do. Wow, great. Fleur-de-lis, that's right. And it actually is significant in New Orleans because of the French royalty. It's also significant to me as a Christian because it's a symbol of the Trinity. And it was given to me by some friends after a really, really hard year. I don't know if you've had a year like I did, but it was awful. We're a close family. We have four kids. And when my daughter went off to college, it was really hard. Raise your hand if a sibling in your family or someone has left and you've understood what it feels like when the blank space of them leaving is there. I see some hands. Raise your hands high. It's such a thing we don't talk about that much, but you as younger siblings, you've seen someone leave and it kind of just changes like the dynamic of your family. That happened when my daughter went off to college and I kind of lost my footing for a little bit. And I found that I just didn't know who I was quite as much anymore. Moms, can I get an amen here? It's hard when your kids start to go off to college. It's so hard. But then it like affected other things because I didn't know who I was. I missed her. I wasn't handling it very well. And I got kind of like off my footing. And so then I started to do some like stupid things, like miss some deadlines. And then I got ashamed. And then I started to kind of isolate and kind of saw myself differently. It was at the end of that hard year that a couple of my friends on a birthday trip, we went to New Orleans, and they had walked me through that with prayer and scripture. And they gave me that to remind me of where my identity is. And so that's why I knew I wanted to give this talk to you guys in New Orleans because of that piece of jewelry. But what I want you to talk about today, what I want you to hear today is that piece of jewelry is so significant to me because it means something because of the story behind it. And also, it gets tarnished and broken. It oftentimes looks a little bit dingy. That's what can happen to our worth too. You probably have experienced this already where you know who you are in Christ and then you go through a hard time and you start to believe some lies about yourself that are just not true. And when that starts to happen, you get a little dingy. You start to see that I want you guys to know that Peter wrote this while he was in prison, just a little bit before he was going to be executed. And so for him to write this words to the church to remind them who you are in Christ is significant. And as we read these in July of 2025, and we understand that we are called out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, ladies, this is our identity right here. You are called out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And that means that that's where you get to live. And because the world is so sinful, and because we're sinful, we will be called out of that when the lies that we hear by society put pressure on us to be something we are not. And so I hope you leave here today with a reminder of where your worth is. And it is in that marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Peter writing that 2,000 years ago to the church, to a bunch of people who had lost their way just days before he's executed. His last words, 1st and 2nd Peter, where he wanted them to know this, still ring true today, that that is what your identity is. And so I want you to think about the first lie that we hear. The first lie you hear all the time is that you have to be perfect, which sounds ridiculous, right? Because it's something we know we can't do. And yet, I bet you've been told that lie over and over and over. To be worthy, you must be perfect. You must be perfect in that you're the oldest daughter in your family and you need to make sure that everything is staying on track all the time. You must be perfect and that you must be sure that you make A's, that you make varsity, that you get the awards, that you finish the race. You must be perfect that you need to make sure you look a certain way. You must be perfect that you need to make sure everyone's happy with you. Raise your hand if you have heard this lie before, maybe not in those words, but you've heard it loud and clear from society that you need to be perfect. Look around, ladies. This is the lie that is being circulated to you, is that you must be perfect. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse because social media came to us, adult leaders, and we really messed it up. Like, we did not do well with it. Sorry, adult leaders, but I think what we just didn't know what power it had, and we just kind of took social media and decided that it was a fun little tool. And now we're passing it down to you, and it's kind of a mess. We have not realized how much the message that you have to be perfect would be broadcast into your minds and into your spirits as you guys are growing up, and it's unfair to you. But here's the hope. I bet you guys will do a better job with it. I bet you guys will figure social media out in a way that we could not. And you will use that for good. You will not believe the lies that everyone who you see on social media that has an agenda, that you would do something for them, like, share, buy, click, whatever, that that's where your worth is, that you have to look like them to be perfect. Because that lie is so, so outdated, and we're still believing it. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about where in your life you've been given the message you have to be perfect. Where in your life do you feel the most pressure to be perfect? Is it with sports because your identity is in sports? Is it because where you fit in the family? You're the peaceful one. You're the mediator. You're the one that makes sure everyone feels good about themselves, and you feel like you have to be like that all the time. Do you feel like you have to be perfect in your church, in your youth group, because you are a Christian that everyone looks at? I want you to take a second right now, and I want you to take out a journal, a Bible, hopefully not your phone, but if that's all you've got, then use it, because I want you to remember that this is a lie that you're being told that's hard to untangle from your actual worth. I want you to take out a pen and I want you to write where you feel like you must be perfect. Is there some boy in your life that's telling you subtly that you need to look a certain way, that you need to be available all the time in order to be valuable? Is there a parent? Is there a teacher that puts so much pressure and relies on you? Or is it just all of society that you end up hating your thighs and hating your nose and the way that your hair looks because you just don't fit in and you're so tired of it. You don't have the money other people do, the influence, the personality, and you feel like you beat yourself up because you're not perfect. Write down what part of your life you feel like you need to be perfect. I feel like I need to be perfect as a mom. I feel like I put so much pressure on myself that I want to never, ever mess up, which is ridiculous. Because it's when I mess up as a mom and we're able to talk about it and forgive each other and connect and reconcile that we really, really connect and get closer. And yet I really want to always be perfect. We will keep on trying to be perfect, each and every one of us, because that's how we as humans believe that we can get the things we really want. And yet they are not the things that we need. All the achievements, making the teams. Some of you who are seniors or who are adults have already learned this. It just does not scratch the itch that you have to keep on achieving and being perfect. And I asked Ellie that question because that's when we really learn. I don't know why we're so afraid to show our scars to other people. And I'm not just talking about the scars on the outside, where you fell when you learned to ride your bike or where you tripped over something and fell on, you know, the floor and cut yourself. Whatever it is, those stories of how you failed and then learned something. And when you're at your lowest point, God came in. God was always there and transformed that situation so you knew your full identity. Those are the rich stories that connect us. Those are the stories that we learn something in. And so you have failed before. You have tried to be perfect and you've realized you're not perfect. And then you had to learn that you are forgiven, which is so much better than being perfect. And then you had to start over and rebuild, hopefully, based on that marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Does anyone have something they could write in their journal about a failure where they learned their true identity? When the friend group left you, when the boyfriend broke up with you, when you didn't get into the school you wanted to, and you just felt like you were tarnished and broken and a disappointment. And then what did you learn then? In that moment, when you realize that this is actually all a joke and fake and doesn't matter because you can never be perfect. For me, it was that year when all of a sudden I couldn't write anymore. And it killed me because I would wake up every morning and try to write and it just was like paralysis. And I realized I was grieving and then isolating and just not my identity in Christ at all. I was neglecting Bible study, was neglecting my true identity in that marvelous light because I wanted to believe the lies that if I just tried harder, and the more I tried, the less I could do. It was finally when I was just totally broken that I came to the Lord and was like, I need help. I need to be in the Word. I know that. I need to know who I am again. And then, because He always provides perfectly, the people showed up that needed to remind me that I'm forgiven. And then every day is a new start in Jesus Christ. Just really quickly, she said when she's starting high school, if you're someone that just started high school or is about to finish high school, who's a senior, just graduated, those times of transition are when the perfection really crumbles. They're a good opportunity. And so if you are in one of those transition places, know that you have a special calling to figure out how you can go forward, leaving behind the lie that you have to be perfect. This is one of my favorite verses. That book that I said I couldn't write, that I ended up wasting a lot of time trying to write during that hard year, was a book called Everlasting about the emotions in the Psalms. And I so much wanted to finish it and I just couldn't do it. And then through a series of little miracles, God provided the right people and encouragement, the right emails and the right connections at the right time. And I finished the book and it just came out last month, and I'm here to tell you if you need a story of encouragement or testimony that wherever you're at, where you feel like you're failing, God is there with you and He will provide perfectly. I want you to know that you get to live in this marvelous light and you get to tell this story of your life that is filled with failure and forgiveness and redemption and starting over. And it's the best way to live. So there's someone that will remind you of your identity in Christ when you need it. That last line, on God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty work, my refuge in God. Maybe it's an adult leader who is here on this trip with you. Maybe it is a friend or a sister, a family member, who when you are in that dark place and you don't know how the world continues when you're not perfect, when you got cut from the team, you didn't make it into the B, you got the one on the AP test, whatever happened to you that crushed you, that reminds you that your refuge is in Jesus Christ, there's someone that will remind you of your worth. And that is God's plan A for us, that we would remind each other of our worth. And so write that name down. Someone that you know will do that. I know the adult leader that took you on this trip is someone that is invested in you and cares about you, and you can reach out to them when you feel alone and you forgot who you are because your world crumbled because you believed that your worth was in what you could achieve. That person cares about you and will remind you of your worth. If you don't have anyone to write, if you're pausing right now with no one to write down, this is an invitation for you to find someone on this trip. You're going to have a mountaintop experience. You're all going to be drenched in the Word of God. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to worship together side by side. Could that person be someone that you could trust to reach out to? God tells us over and over and over that we don't walk this alone. And the reminder of that is other people. Once you write that name down, I want you to write it in a place you'll see it again, because you will need that reminder when everything falls apart and you need to know that God is your refuge. Line number two is that you must be very, very liked. You must be very, very liked. I've believed this my whole life. I'm a pathological people pleaser that really, really needs to be liked. I really want to write a book for you guys called Must Be Nice, because I feel like the message that you guys got was that you must be nice all the time. You must be nice to anyone who needs anything from you at any time, which of course is one of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, right? But there's a difference between true kindness and the idea that you are responsible for other people's happiness, which is a lie. I have two daughters and two sons, and I even have twins who are 18, boy-girl twins, and I can ask them something, and sometimes in my daughter's eyes, I can see that it's important that they say the answer that's going to make me happy. I don't see that in my son's eyes. I feel like you guys have gotten a special memo, and that memo is keep everyone happy with me all the time, which is so impossible and such a lie. Raise your hand if you feel like you are a pathological people pleaser. Okay, look around, guys. This is not just you. Everyone feels like this all the time. Somehow we got the memo that we are the flight attendants to the world, and any need that anyone has, we should feel very bad if we can't provide it for them. And that is a lie, because those people have their own Savior already. And that Savior is providing everything they need, and it does not have to be you, because they have an agenda of something that they think you should fill. And I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's your friends or a boy or teachers or a whole system, your whole youth group needs you to be kind of like taking care of everyone as the mom to everyone. Maybe it's someone that has a very loud message to you that you need to do this with your life, or you need to be this way, which of course, if they're trusted and they've earned your trust as someone who is a sister in Christ, who is invested in your faith and they're giving you advice, that's different than someone who just needs you to be nice to them all the time and be very, very good at keeping them happy. You know, we hear the message that we should never disappoint anyone. We hate that feeling of disappointing, right? But here's my encouragement to you to disappoint some people. Because when you disappoint people, you appoint yourself as the person who's making decisions for your own life. When you disappoint the friend group who wants you to act a certain way, and they're disappointed when you do this, you appoint yourself as the person making the decisions. And when you are functioning out of that marvelous light of Jesus Christ, you should be appointing yourself as the main character in your own story to make decisions about who you're going to be and what you're going to do. When you are in the Word of God, when you understand your identity as His daughter, that is a time to appoint yourself as the person who gets to choose things for your own life. And when you disappoint other people, you are just taking away that agency in their life, in your life. Does that make sense to you? And so I want you to think about it. Who do you need to disappoint? Is there a coach that's putting a whole bunch of pressure on you because he really needs you to be this all-star athlete this year and you're kind of over it? That's okay to disappoint them. If that's not what you're doing in your life right now, you don't have to keep him happy with you. The friend group, the boyfriend, the parents that really need you to go to this college and become this because it would make them so happy. They've already had their chance to do that. This is your life. And part of living in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ and your own worth is making decisions that appoint you as the main character and disappoint someone else. Is there anyone who, as I'm talking, you're thinking of some way that you have to disappoint someone? Maybe they're next to you and you don't really want to say it out loud. I get that. It's probably a wise decision. Or maybe it's just a system or somewhere. What they're talking about is their values. And so we all have values. And when you know your values are based on that value in Christ. And so if people are suggesting, let's drink whatever, yeah, sure, it breaks the law and breaks the trust with our parents. And yeah, sure, it puts us in compromising situations and also helps us numb things that we should be feeling and puts us in a light where we're wearing crosses and doing something that we know is sabotaging our own identity. But it's okay. Let's do it anyway, because we could probably get away with it. You know, what's happening right there is if your value is that I don't do those things because I know who I am in Christ, then them putting pressure on it is them trying to take agency of your own life. And what you shared with the friend who's going to talk bad about other people and then impress, let me tell this story where you look really stupid so all the guys pay attention to me and I get that really big thrill of boys paying attention to me, which feels so good, right? And now all of a sudden you're like a character in her story, and she's making you look stupid and keeps doing it. Your value is that I'm more worthy than that, and you don't get to use me in that way. And so you have to set a boundary there that you don't get to do that anymore. And then we know as Christians, you forgive and you reconcile if it's safe, and it's a whole other talk. But those two examples talk about the values that you have as a person. And if your values change because you want to be liked, you don't really have values. You are just a thermometer that's just taking the temperature of everyone else and then saying, this is the temperature of everyone else. That's not your life anymore. That's them using you in order to put their agenda on you. That's a lie. And when we walk in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, we know who we are. It's what we were called to do. Peter wrote those words from prison when he was about to be executed. After his whole life of everything he did, his last words were this: don't forget to walk in the marvelous light. Don't get distracted. And that was 2,000 years ago when there were far less distractions than there are today. And so I know it is challenging. And I also know that God has given you a Savior who holds you close and loves you, so you know what your value is. And it's not based on what someone tells you you need to be. So I hope you've written a name of who you need to disappoint in your life so that you can appoint yourself and your values. And I hope you've also written a name of when you're trying to untangle this stuff, when you get back home and things are quiet again and you're not in this room with hundreds of other people, I hope that you've written a name of someone that can help you untangle it, because you're not meant to go about this alone. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this line from 1 John 4:16. It says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Remember that, the love that God has for us. That's where your value is. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That is the promise for you, is that that love is something no one can take away from you. I tell you that because when you cancel someone, or when you don't drink at a party, and it keeps coming up because your whole friend group drinks at parties all the time, or you get cut from the volleyball team, when those real things play out in your real story of worth, you got to have a reminder of who you are. And that's the reminder that it's the love of God. We're going to talk about the third lie. The third lie is that you need more and more and more and more and more. You need more success. You need more AP classes. You need more money. You need more whatever's on sale on Amazon Prime Day. You need some new AirPods. You need some new products. You need more friends. You need more entertainment. You need more things to numb what you don't want to think about. You need more attention. The lie that the society has told us, especially you, because you in this room are the main consumers buying most of the things in the world, this group, is that you are worthy because of what you can buy or what you can achieve. But the only message that they want you to hear is that you just need more. I want you to close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. I know last night was late, but don't go to sleep. And I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture opening your phone. Obviously, you're not doing it. You're just picturing it. And I want you to imagine opening your app that you would open first if you had 30 minutes with nothing to do. Whatever it is, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok. And now imagine scrolling what you're seeing, the people you always see, your friends, their stories, probably a little bit of influencers, some ads. You're scrolling and you're seeing that, those faces that you always see, or maybe new ones, or maybe there's something blowing up on social media and you're seeing a lot of that. Or maybe your friends all went to the same event and they're all posting like variations of the same four pictures and you're seeing all those. All right, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to think about what you just saw on your feed of what was scrolling when you're consuming that social media. I want you to think about that, and I want you to think what agenda was behind those things you were seeing as you scrolled. What did they need you to do? Did they need you to buy something, to click on something, to like something, to share something? Was the contract with your friend group that you would like the post and then leave several messages about how much you liked the post and how pretty they were and how awesome they were? Is that the contract that you had? Do you feel like everyone has an agenda and you open your phone with your worth intact? You know who you are in Jesus Christ in that marvelous light. You know you are loved, and then you start to scroll and it shifts to what you can do for someone else. How you can promote them, how you can help them to feel validated and to feel seen, oftentimes to make some money for you to click on this. Do you see that that lie that you're only valuable if you're doing something to help someone else tarnishes your worth in Christ? Because that was never the idea, that you are only valuable to your friends if you make sure and comment and like and share and all the time and repost. Do you see that that lie starts to mess with who you are? Think about what you consume, because what you consume becomes who you are and who you believe you are. And now you're in this other place with mass events and worship and Bible studies and all these people talking about how much they love Jesus, and you're consuming this. Do you feel different here? Okay. Do you see how that might be the toxins that are affecting the way you see the world and your worth? and that that is not okay. I want you to think about this. For a long time, I taught a class at our high school in Houston, Lutheran South Academy, and it was about articulating your faith. And one of the things we did is we tried to give up social media for a week. And my students did a pretty good job at that. Does anyone here that took the class in the room here? Oh, Lainey Ward is here. Elizabeth Herkenrader is here. They took that class. Does anyone want to stand up and say how it went for them when they had to give up social media? One of the things that we are supposed to do when we stop consuming all the toxins that I know already Lainey's in Bible study and came with an awesome youth group, so it's okay. But one of the things we're supposed to do when we stop consuming those toxins is we're supposed to start consuming more of what reminds us of our identity. So what reminds you of your identity in Christ? Where do you know who you are? Because you hear it from a sacred, divine, all-powerful, all-loving source, Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. Where do you find it? Yeah. Okay, and music. Tell us about that. Yeah, I love that. I love that if you have anything, Spotify, whatever, Amazon Music, whatever you're listening to music for, there's so many playlists out there. And there's a way that you can get those playlists to play all the time that you need to be reminded of your worth, because it's there and you can leave here and know that that's part of what you can do to consume more. What else do you do to hear more? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, that's awesome. And so seeing nature and seeing God's creation and remembering that, we can all see God's creation. And when you're rooted in your identity in Jesus Christ, it resonates with you in a different way than if you're just someone appreciating nature. And I appreciate you saying that. What else do you do to be reminded of who you are? What do you consume more of? What she just said is something that all of you guys can do. And when you're reminded of who you are in Christ and God's word, it sticks with you because your spirit, the spirit that craves that, the Holy Spirit answers that call with a divine inspired word of God. Here's what you could do. You're on a trip with other people in your youth group. You could say, we're going to have a standing date, 9 p.m. every Wednesday. And for 15 minutes, we're going to call and we're going to pray for each other. They don't have to be in your youth group either. They could be someone that lives across the country or across the world. And you could have a standing date where you open the Word of God and you consume the Word of God with someone else who is also invested in growing. Do not make this a mountaintop experience where you learn about your worth. And then school starts and your season starts and you get really busy and you forget this message. The way that God wants us to encourage and walk alongside each other is to set up actual dates in your phone with actual people where you're studying the Word of God. When you're traveling and you see nature, when you hear worship music instead of listening to the junk that you maybe would like to listen to, when you open your phone and everything tells you need more, 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 that is going to deteriorate your idea of how worthy you are. And ladies, you are so worthy. But it's going to take you to be an active participant in that, to remember that message. And so that's my encouragement to you. Whoever that name is that you wrote down, that you could call or you could text or you could go to when you need to be reminded of your worth because you are a chosen daughter of Christ, ask that person to be in Bible study with you. Talk to them about some ideas of how you can be in Bible study. You can also go to church on Sunday. It's so convenient. There's so many churches in your hometown. Go to one of them on Sunday morning and worship God. We all have excuses and reasons, and you are old enough to get yourself to church. Go to church and be around other believers. Go to youth group activities. Plug in with other Christians who are going to speak into your worth. That is consuming things that are going to remind you of your worth. And when you open your phone and you consume those lies that you're only valuable when you like and share and click and buy, you are believing something that is tearing down your worth, and it's not going to help you out to understand who you are in Christ, to live in his marvelous light. And so I hope when you leave here today, I hope you have a plan to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. And I hope you have a plan to remind yourself of what your worth is. Is anything I'm saying resonating with anyone? Raise your hand if this is like your wheels are turning. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay, ladies, I hope that you walk away with here with a plan, even if it feels like not feasible. There will come a time when you face some failure that you're going to have to figure out what your next step is. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to look at the notes that you took, and I want you to leave here today with an understanding of who you are in Christ. Think about the story that he is telling you. Your worth is because you are chosen and baptized and loved. And the story that you're telling is filled with so many different ups and downs that are tearing apart your worth. And just like the jewelry you talked about at the beginning, you're going to have to go get it shined up and fixed. You're going to have to make sure that the story keeps on including the love of Jesus Christ every single day. What I want you to do before we go is I want you guys to look at whatever Bible verse that you've written in your Bible. And I want you to take this last one, Philippians 4:19. And I want you to mark that if you have it or write it down someplace, because this one, that God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I see some of you taking pictures of it, which is a fantastic way to remember it. Ladies, this is your worth right here. Supply every need according to Christ's riches in Jesus Christ. That's the message that you leave here. You don't need anything else. You don't need to be perfect. You can't be perfect. Failure is more interesting anyway. You don't need to be liked. It's fake anyway if anyone's telling you that you're only valuable to them if you're providing them with something. You don't need more of anything except for the word of God and worship and people that encourage you in Jesus. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When you leave here and go out into the convention center, and go out into New Orleans and go back home and into the world, there are so many lies that you're going to be presented with. My prayer for you is that you would be so anchored in your identity in Christ that you see those lies and you spread that message to the world that needs it. So thank you for coming.